Turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2, please. Jonah chapter 2. This evening we are going to gain some insight from this man's life, specifically the time that he spent in the belly of a great fish. I've been asking God throughout this week for guidance and insight as we look at this text. You know very well, as I do, that God has given us His Word. He's preserved it for us, and each passage and each verse is of value and important. And I ask God to show me those things and those truths. And so it's neat to look at a prayer of someone else. And tonight we're going to look at his prayer. We're going to look at the setting from which he's praying. And we're going to seek to understand some truth and some principles from what's taking place here. So we're in Jonah chapter 2. Just to recap, Jonah is fleeing from the presence of God. God brings a storm. And Jonah and all the sailors there on the boat are struggling. And the sailors come and find Jonah. He's sleeping. And they are afraid for their lives. They cast lots. They falls upon Jonah. They ask Jonah, "What's the deal? I'm fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I fear the God who created all of this." And so there's great fear in the sailors. And finally, they do what he told them to do. They cast him overboard. And the sea stood still. And so Jonah is swallowed by a great fish. And remember, God prepared the fish. God appointed it to do this. This was its appointment. God said, "Fish, that's your next meal. You get it." And so he went, the fish went, and picked up Jonah, swallowed him, and now he's in the belly of the great fish. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. "And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Now, this isn't a pretty picture, is it? Did you know that they're paying good money for whale vomit these days? I was just curious, so I did a little search. And there is it's used in perfumes. Yep. And a British guy found a 6-pound chunk of it on the beach, and he got, I think it was $180,000 for it. Yeah, they're paying good money these days. There's a special scientific name for it and everything. But it's got specific compounds, and specifically it's used in the digestion process. When the whale swallows things, they believe when the whale swallows things that are very hard and sharp, its stomach creates this compound around that so that it helps it digest it through the colon and out the rear. Either if it doesn't go out that way, it vomits, it's out the front. So what a great way to start a lesson tonight, right? I have your attention now. Oh boy. But I just thought I'd share that with you. But anyway, here's the setting here. Jonah is a man like you or I. He has been thrown off the ship. We're not exactly told when the sea went calm. Did it go calm when he hit the water? Did it go calm when he fell under when he went under and didn't come back up? Like, God wanted to just make sure this boy's down, make sure they won't bring him back in. But we aren't told that specifically. But nevertheless, we know that he goes down in the water, and he goes down to the bottom. In this prayer, he kind of chronicles for us, and he kind of gives us a little insight about his journey in the water. And as we look at this prayer, you know, there's a couple things that we want to make note of as we begin. And that is this. God hears our prayers. That's not a surprise to you. I hope not. God hears our prayers despite our environment. No matter if we speak them or think them, because in the water, he opens his mouth, he swallows. And you probably understand he's probably not speaking so much in the water. Maybe in the whale's belly he's speaking. But God hears our prayers. It doesn't matter if we're on land or in the air or in the water, God hears. Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And I wonder, as Jonah is thrown over the side of this boat, and he's in the water, and he is gasping and struggling and finally succumbs to the water, I wonder what was going through his mind. I made this observation. This is the first time we see it mentioned that Jonah actually prays. He has been told to go to Nineveh. He runs away from God. He is caught in a vast storm. All the sailors, the mariners, are praying to their gods. Jonah's sleeping. They come and tell him to pray to his God, but it doesn't tell us that he prays. And finally, the way it ends up, Jonah ends in the water and the sailors are praying to his God. So, this is the first we see Jonah praying. Jonah is in a state of disobedience. He is running away from God. He doesn't want to obey God. He doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. And so he's running from God. And have you been there? And have you tried to pray? When you're in a state of rebellion? When you're disobeying your mom and your dad? Do you ask for favors? Yeah. And you see, the book of Jonah is helpful to us because it gives us the insight of a man who God used despite himself. And let's not get a big head, because this happens to us all too often. That we get in the way of the things of God, but yet God still uses us. So God answers prayer. God pursues us with his mercy. Understand here that God had a plan and he wanted to accomplish it, and so therefore Jonah survived. You understand that? It wasn't because of any special thing about Jonah. It was that God wanted to accomplish something and he wanted to use Jonah, and he was going to do it. So not only does God hear our prayers, not only does God pursue us with his mercy, but God is sovereign in salvation. He's sovereign. He's going to accomplish things his way. He's going to do it. Jonah cries out of the fish's belly. Now, we wouldn't have heard that. This would have been in the confines of the cavity of the stomach of the large fish. We don't know exactly how all this went down, but we could imagine that as Jonah grew weary in the water, he began to sink. And I could imagine that his whole life flashed before his eyes, the final thoughts of death, and you can see from this prayer how his thoughts turned to the Lord. Verse 2, he said, I called out by reason of mine affliction, my distress unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. I want you to know something in the Hebrew. There's two different words. The first cry out is just a calling out. The second one, I cried out, is a cry with a passion. Help me. Now we can look at and make judgments all we want about Jonah here. And Jonah, oh, now that you're in trouble, you're going to cry out to God. Oh, now that you're not, you're dying, you're going to cry out to God. But, well, listen, you know, God hears our prayer, but he pursues us with his mercy. And you know what? We wouldn't want that judgment made of us, because there's going to be times, you know, when we're crying out and we're in need of God's mercy. We just don't deserve favor. We're in need of God's mercy. So Jonah cries out of the belly of hell. That word there is Sheol. So you're familiar with the Psalms at all. It's a word that's used often in the Psalms. It's a word that speaks ultimately of the grave. Most times, most contexts, you can translate it that way. It really speaks of the lowest part, the lowest that man can go. There are a few places where it speaks of a place of for the dead, and but for our context here, I would say it's of the grave. He's as good as dead, is what is basically being said here. Out of the belly of my grave, you know, you got to understand something here. Jonah is in the belly of a fish. What is the expectation of him getting out of there? He's read the stories, I'm sure. The newspapers were full of them, of guys that had gone out and never came back. And now he's one of them. All this is what, you know, he doesn't have the promise of deliverance out of this. He doesn't. There's nowhere that I see that. I mean, he was given something to do. He disobeyed God. So right now, he's in a stance of not being in a right relationship with God because of his disobedience. And so there's no promise here. But he's crying out to God. And by the way, let this be of encouragement to you. Even in the depths of sin, And you, if you walk away from God, and you find yourself in trouble, and you want to pray, you don't know what to do, cry out to God. Cry out to him. God's big enough to handle our disasters. He's big enough. Verse 3. All right, so we understood it. God heard my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep. Listen to the language. Picture, if you will, on a big screen how they would depict such a happening. For thou hast cast me into the deep. Another word for just big water, large body of water, and in the midst of the seas, and in the floods compassed me about. I mean, this is the picture of the water swirling around him, all the billows and thy waves. Billows. It comes from a root word meaning to break. And so most scholars believe it's breakers. You're familiar with water in the ocean. The waves come and they break. And what do? They come and they curl, and they crash, right? And so Jonah's giving us this picture here of being in the midst of the water, experiencing the breakers and the waves upon him. This gives me a little idea of he might have been in the water for a little while in the storm before it calmed down. That's why I say I don't know exactly when it calmed down. But nevertheless, he's experiencing these waves. Then I said, verse 4, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, when a person walks away from God and they have professed Christ, okay, they profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ. They've walked away from God. Yes, that happens. The result as far as how they look upon themselves, if they had take an honest evaluation, is they're no good, they're lousy, God wouldn't want me back. Jonah here is experiencing it. I'm cast out of thy sight. He has been cast overboard. He is as good as dead. He's just praying from his grave. God, do you really care about me now? But notice something. Yet I will look again. I will look again to your holy temple. Context here is, this is in Israel. He was a prophet in Israel, the northern kingdom. Two kingdoms, remember, they were split. Judah on the bottom, Israel on the top. And Jonah was a prophet in Israel. And Israel had their own setup of worship. They didn't go to worship in Jerusalem anymore. But yet we see here him being a prophet, understanding that the true place for worship is the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. And as a Jew, that was the word, that was the depiction of, we look, that's where God is. That's where God is. You see, back in those days, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God didn't reside in people like he does today. See, God dwelt in the temple. That was the place where he dwelt. So they would look to God and they would look there. And so his wording here is, I'm looking back to you, God. I'm going to look again to you. We need to be reminded that God will pursue us with his mercy. We need to encourage folks, you are not too far out for God. We need to tell them the story of Jonah. We need to help them to understand that he was a prophet of God, told to do something specifically by God, and he directly disobeyed, actually going the opposite direction, put other people's lives in jeopardy, and yet God pursued him. That could bring hope to people. Maybe it brings hope to you, me. Verse 5, the waters compassed about me, even to the soul being the most inward part of your being. He's taking on water, and he's taking it on fast. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. Picture of seaweed, probably, but he is encased and chained in his grave, in the sea. I went down to the bottoms, verse 6, of the mountains. That bottoms is really the specific base of the mountains. And if we're familiar with how the ocean is, that is a whole landscape of plateaus and mountains and valleys. And this would have been in the Mediterranean Sea, and quite possibly would have been out maybe where the edge of the coastal plate is, and it drops into the deep. And this is the picture of him in the water, in the depths of it. And the earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. I believe here he's looking up and he sees the impossibility of escape. But yet what we see here is that yet have you, God, brought up my life from corruption, or from the pit, from sure destruction. O Lord my God. You see, Jonah had told these sailors about his God. He said, I fear him. Doesn't say he prays to them until he's in the belly of the whale, belly of the fish. And now we finally see him worship him. O Lord, my God. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. These are the final moments before it seems as if he might have even lost consciousness here, but he remembers the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. The picture here is the final moments of being able to think and understand, and he's describing it in his prayer. Let's realize something. This prayer is being prayed from the belly of the fish. In the prayer, he is describing what he has gone through. And it is, in my mind, the picture of he must have lost consciousness in the water and found himself when he awakened in the belly of a fish. And when he did, he prayed. And it says he was in this fish for 3 days and three nights. So he's in there for quite some time. Verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Interesting phrase here. I've struggled to understand this because he could be talking about those sailors that he had just left up on the boat. Lying vanities, another word for it, could be referring to idols. These two words mean very similar things. Lying is vain or false, that which presents itself as something, yet it is truly nothing at all. Then you see vanities, the same emptiness. And so he's saying here, they that observe or keep or obey emptiness, empty, lying, false things that say they're something, but they are really not. What are they doing? They're forsaking their own mercy. And I like to believe that what he is saying here is those that embrace the false ideals and idols of life are pushing themselves away from the very mercy of God. Because they are refusing to open themselves up to the very work of a merciful God. You see, God's pursuing Jonah. God's pursuing him. The very fact that he is alive speaks of his mercy. Because let's remember something. Jonah doesn't have a good track record with God right now. But you know what? God's still working on him. Verse 9, it turns to praise and says, but I will sacrifice unto you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Perhaps this is where God wanted Jonah to be. Perhaps God wanted Jonah to get to this point where he would say, salvation is of the Lord, of my Jehovah God. When he gets to that point, what is he saying? He's saying, God, it's all about you. To you I will sacrifice, and I will be thankful. I will pay that which I have vowed. I will do what you have told me to do. Salvation is of the Lord. And in that one phrase, there's a lot more than just salvation here for Jonah. When I say salvation, he's delivered from the belly of the fish. But what also is being said is spoken of is, God, if you want to work salvation and work in the hearts of those Ninevites, that's you. That's your business. That's of you. You see, God is sovereign in salvation, and God will do what he wants to do. He will save even the Ninevites, as we see what happens in the story. The Lord spake unto the fish, vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. See, Jonah got to the point, and he said, salvation is of the Lord. And God said, okay, I've got you where I want you. You can't get any closer to death. Fish, let them out. That's why I looked up vomit, whale vomit, because I was just curious. How in the world that happened? It does say that sharks, if they have foreign objects in their stomachs, will vomit up their stomach and then swallow it again. Now that's interesting to me. Could that have been enough to propel Jonah out onto the beach? I don't know. But nevertheless, neither here nor there, he ends up on the coast. He ends up on dry land, by the way. It wasn't like he was able to, you know, they got him into the shallow. He was on dry land. Now, you know, this is a prayer coming from the depths. This is a prayer of desperation. But nevertheless, it's a prayer that God hears. And it is a prayer that speaks of the pursuit of God and his mercy. And it is a prayer that tells us of the sovereignty of God in salvation. God is sovereign. You and I, if we had the chance to pull the levers and push the buttons on Jonah's life, we would have said, you're done, fella. We've had enough of you. But that's not the case with God. And boy, am I glad it's not up to you or to me, huh? God directs our lives. God directs. You know, in Scripture, there are some people that God does not put up with. But there are times and people that God is very, very patient with. And he's patient for a long, long time. And I don't know about you, but I praise God that he's like that. And that we can trust him. And that we can learn even from this man, Jonah. We can learn these truths. That God hears us when we pray, no matter what the condition or the state or whether we've been in sin or not. God hears our prayers. But not only that, he's merciful and he pursues us. God pursues us. You know what? Are you praying for somebody that's walked away from God? Pray that they will understand that God pursues after them, that they won't be afraid to speak to him again. Remember the story of Jonah. And just remember, salvation, God's sovereign in that. God's going to make the call. God's making those decisions, not you and not me. And as much as I want to judge Jonah,
and condemn him for all the bad things that he's done so far, because he's going to do more. Listen how judgmental I am. How often do we do things? Let's be honest. Praise God for his mercy. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for giving us such a insight into this, the life and experiences of this man. God, it's fascinating that you have included this in the Bible, in your word, and preserved it for us. And so, God, we look at it and we count it as a privilege, and it's of great value to us, Lord. And I pray that you would take this evening and the words that were spoken. God, if there's something that was said incorrectly or not accurate, Lord, may it be quickly forgotten. But I pray that these truths that we've talked about tonight would be planted deep in our hearts, and that we might be an encouragement to others. In Jesus' name, amen.